Mark chapter 11, verse 22. And Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Amen? That's a good place to start. For assuredly I say to you, whosoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will come to pass, he shall have whatever he says. And read it from the next verse from the King James here. It says, and therefore I say to you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. We're going to look at this verse in a fresh way today. And before I do that, I want to address this hidden catalyst behind this event and concept of mountain-moving faith. Desire. Verse 24 says, what things soever you desire when you pray. Desire is powerful. Desire is a good thing. Otherwise, it would not be involved in this verse and connected with prayer. Amen? It's only perverted when it's something selfish and it harms other people. Amen?
Right.
Now, sometimes desire is difficult to be put into words. See, you can have yearnings on the inside, but you just don't know how to put them into words. And they're God-given desires. Do you know you can have a God-given desire that you can't put into words? It's true. But this verse tells us of the need to put them into words in order to activate and release desire's creative power through faith. Amen? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Going to start here. Start 9 and 10. We're talking about desire here for a second. Says verse 9, but as is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Everyone say prepared. God has prepared things for you. Isn't that good? God's prepared things for you. Have you ever had your mom prepare your best meal? You come in, you can just smell it. And you walk in the house like, something smells good. Something was prepared for you. And when your mom says, no, it's for someone else. There's something within you that says, that's not right. I'm sensing a desire that something was prepared for me. That's desire. That God has a desire. There's things that God's put inside your heart because he has prepared something for you. Verse 10 says, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. Hallelujah. You don't have to guess. God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man, except the spirit of man which is in him. We're going to go somewhere. I want you guys to remember this verse here. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know, hallelujah, the things that have been freely, everyone say freely, given to us by God. Hallelujah. So there are things, it says this verse, that we know in our spirits, but yet that our minds can't fully comprehend yet. That's the thing we face sometimes. The things we know in our spirits that our minds can't yet comprehend. This is the realm of possibility, the realm of desire, and the realm of the spirits. Sometimes spiritual foreknowledge is manifest in the human soul as what we call desire. When we feed our spirit's desire, it develops into expectation. And when expectation develops, it's going to explode into a manifestation of our faith. Where anything can happen. All things are possible. Amen. Now, it's possible to desire and to miss and to want something that's yours that you've never yet know, you don't really know about, you know it belongs to you. Do you know why that's so? It's because of the predestination that God has for you. The Bible says we are predestined to be conformed to his image. Amen? That means, what that means is that we were not sent here to try and find a purpose or make up a purpose. We were sent here on a purpose. And because we were sent here on a purpose, there are things that we need to fulfill that purpose that we do not yet know that we need. But yet, because his spirit is within us, there's something within us that says, there's things I need to fulfill my purpose that I not yet know that I need. So, before the foundation of the earth, God had sent you and thought about you and sent you here on a purpose. So as we're ever increasing in the knowledge of God, that desire, that it starts to clarify. It starts to say, there's things that I need, and you start to have a gravitational pull toward those things. Are you listening to me here? And so the foreknowledge of the will of God is many times manifest in the human soul as desire. The Bible says those the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are sons of God. Amen? And so those who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. And so God is going to lead us. Amen? Right. Now, sometimes it's difficult to decipher those feelings. Amen? And so in order so we don't get off track and try to fulfill those feelings in a wrong way, God has given us his word. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God for his word. So because God's word can put those desires into a more concrete, knowable, understandable form. So we can say, that's why my spirit is saying that, because the spirit and the word agree. So, yeah, like I said, there's a spirit within us that has a gravitational pull toward things that's going to help us fulfill the call of God in our lives. We can see this even back in the Garden of Eden. When God created the world, everything was good. Yeah. So after God created man, everything was good. But yet something was missing. Do you know everything can be good, but something still be missing? And so Adam is going around, and God allowed him to show him everything. Show him everything, the sky, in the sea, on the earth, and throughout all of creation. And though he'd never seen a woman, there's something within him that says, I need some help. Aren't you glad he knew that everything he saw thus far was not it. Sometimes it takes as much discernment to know what's not it as what it is it. Aren't you glad he didn't set up for a hippo or a monkey? Hallelujah. It's like, well, maybe I'll make this work. Thank God. No. And so God saw that he knew that there was nothing that was around him that was suitable. So God knocked Adam out. And God reached into Adam, pulled something out of Adam, created something from Adam, and marched it right back alongside of him to help him fulfill everything God's called him to do. Everyone say, you need some help. Everyone needs some help. Everyone needs some help. And God did not send you here as even though you are created in him, there are things you need to fulfill everything God's called you to do. And that's even though everything can be good, you still have some needs. And God is going to help you unlock those things for you. And so those desires you feel, those desires you sense on the inside, God wants to fulfill them by his spirit. So what God wants to do is reach on the in. And see, this is important. God was showing Adam something. He says that your help is not just way out there. Your help is within you. And says, what I'm going to do is I'm going to reach inside of you. I'm going to pull that thing out of you. And I'm going to create something with that and march it back alongside of you to help you fulfill the call of God for you. Amen. So I'm talking about desire here. The power of your desire. The creative power of your desire. Recognizing that. That's very crucial for this Mark chapter 11. Now, there are things that God is instinctively making us aware of that he has planned for us before the foundation of the world. And let me tell you, your greatest help is on the way. Your greatest help is on the way. That's my introduction. Are you ready? All right. Now, let me back up for a second. It says, we have to understand God is sovereign over all realms. God is large and in charge. Our God is a great God. He is King and Lord over all things in heaven and on earth. Amen? He's King and Lord over all things flesh. He's King over all things spirit. Amen? Now, with our flesh, we contact the realm of the physical realm. With our soul, we connect with things of the soul. With our spirit, we connect with things of the spirit. Okay? Now, not everything we have contact with is natural. Yeah? Some things we have contact with, that's spiritual. Not everything we have contact with is spiritual. Some things are natural. You can't confuse that. You have to understand that there's natural things that our natural bodies are meant to do, and there's spiritual things that our spirit is meant to do. But overall, all of it, God is in charge. Now, some people try to relegate God just to the spirit. He's God over all things spirit. No, he's not just God over all things spirit. He's God over all things natural as well. Now, even though there's the natural world and the spiritual world, and they seem to be opposite, they may be opposite, but they're not equal. People try to think that there's a yin-yang thing going on. No, things of the spirit dominate over the things of the natural. And there's some symbolism in the Bible. In the natural, it talks about in the Bible, there's a natural earth. And the earth is a symbol of things natural. As you look through the Bible, the water, the sea, is a symbol of things spirit. The earth is natural, fixed, concrete, immovable. But water has an ebb, a flow, a current. It has a resource that seems to wash right through. It is a unique picture to us of the spirit. And so when God talks about his spirit, he doesn't say it's like an earth that he reaches out like a man dumping it out on flesh. He says that his spirit is going to be poured out on all flesh, a liquid, fluid. It's poured out on all flesh. All right, now it's interesting to notice as you look at the natural world, when God created, the natural world is created two-thirds water and one-third land. You look at yourself, you just go to science class, basic science shows you that you are two-thirds water and one-third whatever else you are. All right? And so that speaks to us that two-thirds, again, they're opposite but not equal. Two-thirds of you is not visible, tangible to the natural eye. There's more going on in the spirit that you may know. The Godhead is only one-third flesh. The natural earth is only one-third earth. Now, that you understand that, when you're saved, we talked about this a little bit in the beginning, when you're saved in your spirit. Yeah? So as far as God is concerned, your destiny, your future, it's settled. All right, even before you showed up. And when you were recreated with this new spiritual life, you begin to have a new spiritual vision. God comes inside of you, and you start saying, I'm more than just my natural nature. I am a spirit. I have a spiritual nature. And you become what the Bible calls born again. You see things new. Everything, the old is gone. All things have become new. But yet at the same time, you're still seeing your natural self. You're still seeing the things that you're dealing with. Wake up in the morning. You go throughout your day. You still are seeing things in the earth. And you're like, there's a desire, a disconnect. Like, you know what? I know there can be more to life. There's things that I know on the inside, that there's a desire on the inside of me that wants to get to where I know that God has for me. But sometimes it seems like an insurmountable jump. Yep. God says one thing to you, and the natural world says another thing to you. God says one thing to you, and your attitude says another thing. You talk about your future. God talks to you about your future, and you're still complaining about your past. All right? God says one thing, and your checkbook says another thing. All right? From the zone to where you see yourself and to where God has called you to live is a zone of miracles. It's going to take some miracles manifesting to get where God's called you to be. Does anyone believe in miracles in this church? All right. So again, these two realms that we live in are opposite or not equal. The natural realm is subject to the realm of the Spirit. The Bible says the things that we see were made by things we do not see. It says in Hebrews chapter 11 that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So the things that we currently see were made by things we do not see. Amen? And so it's the works and the words of the Spirit. And so when these two worlds collide, it's the natural world that moves. It's a natural world. The natural cannot alter the Spirit, but the Spirit is what's going to alter the natural. And so when the natural world bows down to the spiritual world, this conforming of natural circumstances to the will of God is what we call a miracle. And it doesn't matter what it is, whether it's you need healing, whether you need a financial miracle, or whether you need your emotions fixed, or whether you need your family fixed, all those things is put together in the realm of the Spirit. And it's when you step into the spiritual realm, the natural realm has to move and be conformed to the will of God. It's all in the Spirit. Now, it's for this reason that you should be very interested in how God, as the master storyteller, weaves his concept, the concept of the dominance of water over the natural throughout the Bible, to express to us the nature of the Spirit, the nature of the spiritual realm in our life. John chapter 3, we're getting going here. John chapter 3, Jesus tells Nicodemus that he needs to be born again. Amen? You must be born again. And so Nicodemus is like, I have no clue how that's going to happen. And so Jesus tells him, he says, listen, it's not the way you're thinking. He says, that was born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. And so when you enter into the born again, when you enter the born again experience, you enter the spiritual dimension that is not ruled, not governed, not originated from the natural world. Amen? And so it does not, so this is good news. I've come to give you some good news here today. That it doesn't, you are not limited by your zip code. You're not limited by who your parents were or were not. You're not limited by your upbringing. It's not limited by what your natural body looks like or what your natural strength looks like. When you are born again by the Spirit, your resources, your strength, your identity comes from the Spirit. And so when you enter in that spiritual dimension, it's whatever's the natural tries to limit you cannot limit what God has destined for you through the Spirit. So when you came into his kingdom, because we're talking about his kingdom, talks about the kingdom of God. It says, unless the one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So when you're born again, the kingdom, the dominance of God comes into you. It's not just you come into the kingdom comes into you and begins to dominate. Yes. I'm talking the spiritual world dominates over the natural world. And so Jesus continues to refer to the water as a spirit in John chapter 7. You guys know this. John chapter 7, I believe it's verse 37. It says, John verse 37 says, if any man thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Verse 38, if he believes on me, as the scriptures has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And verse 39 says, but this he spoke concerning the what? Yeah, this he spoke concerning the Spirit. This, he spoke concerning the Spirit. So there is a flow. It's not just the Spirit within. There's a flow of the Spirit that he wants you to get into. A river. Everyone say a river.
A river.
All right? That's going to bring life wherever we go. That's why it's called living water. Not dead water, not just water, but living water.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so not just to us, but through us. That's what when John chapter 4, when Jesus met the woman at the well. And so the woman came to the well with a bucket. Amen? Jesus said, well, and Jesus asked for a drink of water, and she's like, I don't know how you're going to get it water. He says, listen, that's not my point. My point is, if you knew who you're talking to, you would ask me for living water. And she got stirred up on the inside of her. And so she came with the bucket, but she left with a well. See, this is the born-again experience. When you come to God, how many of you, when you came to God with a bucket, an empty bucket, but you left with a well inside your spirit that's springing up into everlasting life. Hallelujah. And so this well on the inside of you, it's what's going to take you to where you need to be in this working in this realm of miracles, fulfilling your destiny. All right, let's get going here. In the book of Exodus, remember where the children of Israel, we'll talk about the born again experience, where the children of Israel were being delivered out of Egypt. Remember that? What does God do? He marches them right up to the Red Sea. Right up to the Red Sea. They thought they were trapped, but God again showing his dominance over the natural and the spirit as he's continued to do. He says, all right, you stand still. You're going to see the salvation of the Lord. So he begins to blow through and lifts the waters up on either side. And so as they go from dry ground to dry ground to dry ground, but lifted up on either side of them is the water. Talk about the born-again experience. They pass through the water. And so as they walk through, God said, all right, I'm gonna let you walk right through. From dry ground to dry ground to dry ground. And when you follow through and get to the other side, I'm going to let your enemy follow you. And when he gets about halfway through, I'm going to let my hand go and I'm going to wash that thing right out. See, this is what God's going to do. He's going to let your enemy follow you through. He says, all right, you think he's the same as he used to be. You think she's the same as she used to be. But listen, within my spirit, there is the ability to wash out the enemy. Within the spirit, as soon as you walk right through, he said the enemy's going to fall about halfway, but then he realized, I'm trapped. Because God set that thing. Who you think sprung that trap? He lays traps for the enemy. See, you think that the enemy has weapons formed against you, but I tell you what, those will not prosper. See, that God himself has enemies that are mighty in God for pulling in strongholds. They're mighty in God, not just from God, but they're mighty in God. And as soon as you get halfway through, he's going to let that waters of the Spirit go and wash out your enemy. Oh, you guys are ready here. And so as he washes out the enemy, and see, this is why David says, he says, as the deer pants for the water, so much so longs after you. See, it's not just the fact that he's thirsty for God. But if you know anything about hunting, when the enemy's chasing that deer, as soon as that deer crosses that water, the enemy loses your scent. There's a place in the spirit you can get where the enemy can't follow you. You can get so far, and that the enemy's like, I can't see them anymore. That's why I said our life is hid in God in Christ. It says there's a point that I can't see them anymore. All I see is that tidal wave of the Spirit coming at me, and I better get out of here. Are you hearing me today? All right. And so let's, again, talk about David here. When David, he went against the champion of the enemy, of the people of God, Goliath, what'd he do? He went to go get some stones. But he didn't just go get any stones. Where'd he go? He went to the water. He says, the kind of stones I need are going to come from the water. Listen, he's in a desert. There's rocks everywhere. He says, but the kind of rocks I need are not rocks I can just find anywhere. What I need to defeat my enemy is down in that water. And that speaks to us, is that there's circumstances that we're facing in life. And they may seem like Goliath. And God's like, listen, I've shown you in my word. If you want to defeat your enemy, you go to the Spirit. Because if you can catch a glimpse of that thing in the Spirit, you can actually reach your hand into. And once you get your hand into that, you can pull that thing out. And you can deal with your enemy from that place. And it doesn't matter how big Goliath is. When you get that thing from the Spirit in your hand, and you, by the Spirit, you fire that thing right at your enemy. I don't care how big he is, how much he lasts. He's coming down. He's coming down. He's coming down. Hallelujah. Are you guys here this morning? All right. You guys should give him some praise for this here. Hallelujah. Amen. See, we need to be reminded, it's not by might. It's not by power. But it's by what? Yeah, it's by the Spirit of the Lord. You have to get in the water. You have to get in the water. See, I know why some of you are looking at me a little bit funny right now. You're like, what is he talking about? And there's a reason for that. You know, after the children of Israel, they got to the Red Sea. And they're full of God's praises. But pretty soon after that, in Exodus 15, it's verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days in the wilderness, and they found no water. Now, when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it, the place, was called Marah. See, some people, when we start talking about spiritual things, they get scared. They get a little bit nervous because all they know is bitter water. All they know is bitter water. So now, some people see the realm of the Spirit as bitter water. And that's a real experience. And we live in a nation of superstitious people who believe in everything and nothing. You hearing me? They believe in everything from, I don't believe in anything, but yet they believe in black cats, karma, crystals, spirit guides, harmonic convergences. They believe in everything and nothing. And so there's people who have dived headfirst into the shallow end of a spiritual experience. And so the devil knows that he can follow you into the spirits. So what he tries to do is talk you out of the spirits. So that's what he's tried to do to the church. He says, you know what? I'm going to talk you into being natural, and I'm going to talk society into being spiritual. And so society is being sold a false idea of what spirituality is. And the church is being sold a false idea of what the world wants. Well, if you're too spiritual, then they won't understand you. It'll be too weird. And so just that stuff was weird. Just put it to the side. Are you hearing me? Yes. And so that's what makes this water bitter. And so verse 24, and the people murmured against Moses saying, what shall we drink? Because people are still thirsty. People are still thirsty. No matter how bitter the waters are, people are still thirsty. Are you guys hearing me? They still need that water of life. And so he cried out to the Lord. And the Lord showed him a tree. And when he cast into the waters were made sweet. Hallelujah. What this speaks to us is that we should not be afraid of the waters of the Spirit. But the key is this. Is don't separate the waters of the Spirit from the finished work of Christ. It's the center of the Spirit should be the finished work of Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. The finished work of Jesus. When that is at the center of your understanding of the realm of the Spirit, that God, Jesus died on the cross so he could be raised, so that he could send the Spirit to you, that you have free access to the working of the Spirit of God. Once you understand that it's because of Jesus, it's because of the finished work of Christ, that's when the finished work, that's when the Spirit is going to quench your thirst. It's safe. You can swim in that thing. You can jump right in, and it's going to refresh you. And the Bible says they can taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. Talk about the waters of the Spirit. Let me give you a couple other instances here. So Naaman, you guys remember Naaman? Yes. Naaman in the Bible, he had a flesh problem. Some people have a flesh problem. Now, he's a great man, but he had leprosy. Flesh problem. There's a lot of people who can have a flesh problem. Now, flesh problem is leprosy is a symbol of sin because it dulls your senses, it's contagious, it's deadly, and it's incurable. Here's Naaman struggling with this flesh problem. And it comes to the prophet. The prophet doesn't even come out and see him. Prophet just stays in his house and sends a messenger and says, hey, this is the word. And so he gets upset. But listen, it speaks to us that we don't need someone to personally address our problem. We have the word. When we have the word and we can apply that to our life, the waters of the Spirit can start flowing. And so what he says, the word was, says you need to go get in the water. And so when he goes down to the water, he dips not just once, not just twice, not just three times, but he dips seven times. And so on the seventh time, he came up. And what was the deal with his flesh? It was like a newborn baby, which speaks to us again of the born again experience, the renewing, being renewed in the spirit of our mind. Are you guys hearing me? And so there is a place where you may have be dealing with a flesh problem. But the Bible says that you can be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you can walk in the spirit and not fulfill the lust in the flesh. But when you just need to keep dipping until that thing is washed out and you can fulfill the promise of walking in the spirit and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. It doesn't have to destroy you, but by these exceeding great and precious promises, you can be a partaker of the divine nature. All right? Hallelujah. Healing is in the water. Jesus comes to a man who is blind. The man was blind, and Jesus does something very unusual. Jesus has reasons why he does what he does. And so he sees the man who is blind, and he says, goes ahead, makes mud. And then he has the audacity to go and put it in the blind man's eyes. That's not going to make anything better. Oh my gosh, you just made it worse. He asked for healing and you just put mud in his eyes. There's no reason why that should make it any better. That's like insulting. But Jesus has a reason for doing what he does. And so what he was showing us, he says, the reason that people do not see their healing is they have too much earth. They have too much natural circumstances in their eyes. And he says, you know what you need to do? He says, I want you to go wash in the water. Get there in the water. And once you wash the mud, wash the earth out of your eyes, you are going to go away seeing. Whatever your need is, whatever your healing you need, as soon as you get in that water and you wash it, your healing will appear to you so clear. And for you, it's so easy to receive it. It's in the water. It's in the water. It's in the water. So again, the water talks about our spiritual life. Our deliverance is in the water. Mark chapter 5. Almost done here. You guys hang with me? Mark chapter 5. And it came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. When he came out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He was dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, even with chains. All right? And so this man here, Jesus comes to this man. This man comes to Jesus, and the demons are freaking out. They're like, have you come to torment us? Because Jesus says, it's time for you to go. You got to go. And so these demons are, they have a little conversation with Jesus. Very interesting. They have a little conversation and it says, you know, if we're going to go, just allow us to, there's some animals, let's just stay there. See, there are spirits that don't want to give you complete freedom. They'll have a measure of freedom, but they still want to hang around. Because they still want to have a measure of influence. See, this is what happened with Pharaoh. Pharaoh says, I'll let you go, but only part of you can go. I'll let you go, but only a measure. And Moses says, no, God's will, we are all getting out. We are getting all free. And so, yeah, so this was a territorial spirit. It did not want to leave the area. And so when Jesus cast them out, they got up and ran to a herd of pigs. Now, these herd of pigs, they had more sense than most people do. They said, listen, if I want to get rid of these demons, I gotta get to the water. And look at this. They didn't care where they had to go. They said, I don't care if I have to go jump off a cliff. I am getting into the water. See, this is what God, he's looking for. It says, there's a picture in the Bible about the pool of Siloam, where the angel would come down and stir up the water, and the first one would get healed. See, it's not those who just come to the pool and watch the pool get healed. It's supposed to get in the pool. And so in the same way, when you come to church, it doesn't matter if you just come to church, that you get the in the realm of the spirit, that you get what God has for you. It's those that get in the pool. It's those that get in. And so Jesus, when he appears to the man at the pool of Siloam, he says, listen, you're looking for the pool over there, but I said the pool is here. It says right now, you just can get in anytime you want. The water is fine. And that's what Jesus made available to us, is that pool of Siloam is available anytime you want to get in. Just jump on in. The water's fine. It's there for you. And so what you need, your deliverance, your freedom is in the water. Your prosperity is in the water. You know that? Everything you need to take care of, what you need to take care of, it's all in the water. Remember when some people came to Peter and says, listen, your master paid taxes? That's a good question. Let me go find out. So he goes to Jesus and says, hey, they're collecting taxes here. And Jesus is like, okay, go get your fishing pole. He told him to do something he knew how to do. He says, now, I want you to go cast your line into the water. Go catch a line to the water. He says, then the first fish you catch, you open its mouth, and you're going to find everything you need to take care of my business and your business. Wow. See, when you get into the realm of the spirit, there's more than enough to take care of your business and God's business. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be in fear about whether God's going to take care of your business if you take care of God's business. He says, you get into the Spirit. He says, there's more than enough supply where whatever you're doing, I can provide for both what I have and what you would need to have. And so God's blessing is a spiritual reality. It's a spiritual reality. Hallelujah. All right. So let's go back to where we started. Mark chapter 11. Closing up here. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. You know this. It's like people singing out of hymn books. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For sure I say to you, whosoever, everyone say whosoever, says this mountain, be removed and be cast into the cast into the what? Hallelujah. And does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. See, now you're starting to get it. Whoever says to this mountain, a mountain is the largest natural obstacle. There's no natural thing on earth bigger than a mountain. And see, Jesus says, if you say, be removed and be cast into the sea. See, there has to come a time we have to take that largest natural obstacle. And you have to go introduce it to the greatest source of supply that the world has ever known. It's available. That realm of the spirit. And like a pebble, when you drop it in the water, there comes a time where after you drop in the water, you can't even see the hole where it went in. See, he didn't say, just tell the mountain to go. See, that's the thing we've done. We've said, well, we'll just tell it to go. But the problem is it comes right back around. We see it again. We keep telling it to go, and there it is. A few days later, it's there it is again. Comes back right around. Yep. There's that mountain again. There's the mountain again. See, we didn't know where to tell it to go. Now we know where to put it. Right. Hallelujah. He didn't say just move the mountain. He said drown the mountain. Drown the mountain. He says, if you command to get up, go and see, it's going to get up. It's going to get up, and it's going to go into the sea. And the mountain you see today, you will see no more forever. Amen. So I want you to stand up here for a moment. This is available to you. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor that says, this is available to you. There's a realm that we've not yet tapped. The desires you have on the inside of you.